never thought I'd be grateful for snow in May, but praise God. The moisture we receive with the snow and the rain, praise God. And to all you mothers, happy Mother's Day. What a beautiful day to have a day that we celebrate mothers and motherhood and the incredible gift that that is. Today in the gospel, Jesus speaks about friendship. Friendship. It's everything. When you're growing up, especially in middle school, high school, it's probably the most important thing. The thing someone that age worries about the most. Do I have any friends? Who are my friends? The instant worry of what are my friends going to think? And certainly one of the most influential things in a kid's life that age, parents, whether you like it or not, is their friends. But this is the same in every human heart. This desire to be accepted, to be liked, to be loved. St. John Henry Newman, who is a 19th century English saint, he was a convert. He wrote The Idea of a University. And in it, he says that the purpose of a university, the purpose of a university is friendship. Not what you'd probably expect him to say, but he says the whole purpose of higher education is friendship, because a central part of how character and how thought are formed within a person is through the context of friendship, through learning the art of friendship. And if this isn't part of what an education is, then you may be highly skilled and trained for a job, but you don't have an education that actually influences your life. That without this, you may have all sorts of high skills and job training, highly skilled, highly trained, and highly miserable. One of my good friends from Bismarck, Jerome, he celebrated his 40th birthday a handful of years ago. And afterward, a group of us were sitting around talking, and he said, "You know, the thing that I've learned most clearly in the last couple years is that life is all about your relationships." He said, "It's all about friendship." He said, "My friendship with all you schlubbas, with my lovely wife, my friendship with God." Jesus says, "I have called you friends." The stunning thing with this is, Jesus says, "I have called you friends." The stunning thing is that he'd actually want to or even desire to be with us at all. Think of going on a trip with like your very best of your friends. At the end of the vacation, like, "You know what, maybe next time we'll just do 5 days. We don't need the full week." Even with the best of your friends, you get sick of one another. Why? Because you're fallen. You're fallen human beings. And here's God, who is perfect, and he desires to be with us, not just for a short time, but deeply and eternally with us. If I was God, many great things have followed that statement, right? If I was God, I'd be like Clark Griswold on the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation, wanting to get rid of Uncle or Cousin Eddie, all of us, because he's ruining everything. But Jesus wants and he desires this friendship with us. He says, "I've no longer called you slaves, but friends." This is what makes Christianity different from all the different faiths, the different understanding of God, that he desires friendship with us. It's different from, say, Islam, which the understanding of Islam, there's deep truth in it. Islam itself means submission to God's will. That's true. It means that we serve God in our lives. That's true. But there's something more. with Islam, they would think it very much beneath Almighty God to become incarnate, to want to actually be with us, that that's beneath God, that it's a one-way street, us building our way up to God. But in Christianity, it's this incredible two-way street that is us serving God, but God desiring to be with us, and that that's the first and primary thing. That Jesus desires to know you. He knows your heart in its inner depths, but for you to reveal that to him, and he desires you to know him. He's a God who loves you and desires you to be filled with his love. And even more shocking in some way, he's a God who really genuinely likes you. I don't know why, but he does. We hear this, though. We can hear this friendship with God, and we can think it sounds soft and squishy. But this is the Christian God. And strip from your life all your friendships and see what happens to your heart. You become cold and almost unhuman. Friendship with God is what brings our soul to life. It's everything. The Christian life makes zero sense without it. Take, for example, priests, the priesthood. I could spend 16 hours a day doing lots of things for God. I could spend all my waking hours doing things for God without being a friend of God. I could work like a slave for God, doing his work. But if I don't first have that friendship with God, my priesthood is going to ring hollow. There's going to be a fruitlessness in every work that I do. Because the priesthood and the whole Christian life, it finds its nourishment, it finds its whole meaning from first being loved by God. Because what am I doing? I'm working like a slave for God? Why? Because I think that I can somehow please him that way? That I can win his love, affection? The Christian life, the incredible thing is, that's where we begin. And everything we do then is this response to first being loved by God, to being chosen by him. He's chosen you. To try to understand Jesus without friendship is like trying to understand motherhood without love. It exists, but in every single instance, it's tragic. So take your understanding of your mom and motherhood and divorce it entirely from love. Remove that from the picture altogether. Who does mom become? She's this woman who gave birth to you. That's true. That's in fact pretty miraculous. But it rings hollow, doesn't it? That there's something so much more to who a mother is than just the woman who gave birth to you. Take Jesus without friendship. Divorce friendship entirely from your understanding of Jesus. Who does Jesus become? He becomes a man, the Son of God, who died for you. That's true. That's miraculous. But there's something more. On its own, it rings hollow, as true and miraculous as it is. Without this deeper sense of real friendship with God. Those of you who, there's many graduating high school, as you have graduated college and the different stages in your life, you know from experience who are the friends that you've held on to from high school, from college. I even think of the friends I've held on to from seminary and the different assignments I've had as a priest. What's the one thing in all of that that determines whether those friendships just sort of fade away or whether they grow deeper? What's that one thing? It's time. It's the investment of time. Time spent with them. Time spent communicating with them. And you know the deepest friendships that you have, the very deepest ones are where you can sit in a room together and you don't actually have to say anything. And it's not awkward. You can just be in one another's presence, and there's something deeply enriching about that. That's the deepest heart of contemplative prayer. That's the deepest heart of the prayer that God desires most with us, to just be with us. What's the number one enemy to time? It's like, this all sounds wonderful. I love this. But I'm busy. Here we are, one of the richest nations in the whole world, and we are incredibly time poor. We have such little time. How are you doing today? I'm busy. And I'm as guilty as anyone with this. Guilty as anyone. I just fill my life with busyness. In my days as a priest, though, the ones, especially where they might be slammed and just busy from beginning to end, and the thought comes to my mind of, I'm just too busy to pray. What I found very helpful, and this has genuinely been helpful for me in my life, is I do think of an incredible example of prayer in my life, and that's been my mom. Because my mom, growing up, she raised 7 little hellion kids, as well as myself, and she was always the first one up, last one to bed, but there are moments that are just punctuated of her at prayer. I remember being maybe 4 years old and riding on the John Deere tractor, and she's out plowing. And I'm like, Mom, turn on the radio. I want to listen to music. She's like, in a little bit, Mom's praying right now. Or Mom just nursing a baby, singing to the baby, praying for the little child she's holding. She drove bus for many years. She hated driving in winter roads, but especially then, she'd hold her rosary and she'd be praying through it. What God does through the power of prayer. What he does through the power of that. And so for me, it's those images punctuated in the mind. When I'm like, I'm too busy for prayer, I say, no, I'm not too busy. I do have time. I'm just choosing other things. I'm choosing other things. But thank God he still chooses me. He still chooses you. Why? I don't know. But he does. He loves you, and he even likes you. I've called you friends, and this is what God desires with us.